Good morning. Today's scripture comes from James chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. James chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. And it reads, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded.
Good morning. And welcome to the church that Christ died for. If you're visiting with us this morning, I want you to consider that you are indeed our honored guest. And we are happy to have you visiting with us. We want to encourage each and every one of you who is here this morning to come back and worship with us this week. Our gospel meeting will continue through Wednesday. It begins Monday nightly at 7 p.m. And to the shepherds here, I'm so grateful, so thankful, and so honored that you've chosen to have me come to speak to the people of God from the Word of God. Before I begin, I would like for you to turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll be looking at verse 17. If you have your electronic devices, you can turn there as well. And as you do that, I want to share something with you. This is for Dee Dee. I miss my wife, and I told her I'll do something for her. There was this couple, a very, very powerful couple that everybody was wanting to know their secret to success in their marriage. And so they did, you know, many seminars, and people would come out and say, what's the secret? What's the secret? And the husband would say, the secret to our success in our marriage is that I listen to my wife. Everything that she tells me to do, I listen to her and I take heed to it. And I also, for every anniversary that we do, I've taken her out of the country. And then all the people are like, oh, especially the women, oh, that's so sweet, that's nice, that's great. And he says, and then the guy in the back raises his hand, he says, what did you do for your 25th anniversary? He says, I took her to Japan. And then somebody way in the back on the other side says, what did you do for your 50th? He looks at the crowd very honestly and says, I went back to get her. That means you're awake. That's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. The lesson for this morning is come out from among them. So far this morning, we've talked about the creation of light, light of the world, and absorbing light. We also have talked about how to recognize the devices that Satan uses to distinguish our light in the world. God has given us those tools to survive those very attacks. Now, let's talk about how we can further beat Satan at his game. You see, we discussed in the last lesson that Satan has a lot of weapons in his arsenal. And we have also discussed that a lot of those weapons began with the letter D, like discouragement, like dishonesty, all of those D words that are negative. But he uses something else outside of the letter D. And it begins with the letter C, and it is called comfort. Comfort. Comfort is described as a state of physical ease and freedom from pain or constraint. And while there is nothing wrong, saints, with being comfortable, the problem creeps in when that comfort leads us into being slumps and keeps us from doing the will of God. So for a little while, I want to talk about coming out from among them. The question is, who is them? Who is the them that we are talking about? Well, the them that we are talking about is the world. The world and the sinful things therein. You know, if you really think about it, we see the world coming out all the time. Think about it. Homosexuality comes out of the closet. Murder comes out of the closet. Abducting comes out of the closet. Molestation comes out of the closet. Alcoholism comes out of the closet. All of these things come out of the closet. But you know what's still in the closet that needs to come out of the closet? Christianity. It's been hid too long in the closet. Everyone else has the faith to step out and say what they believe and what they stand for. When are we going to stand up and say that we are believers? That we stand up for Jesus? When will we come out of the closet? See, we see the world coming out all the time. It's used to standing up. See, the phrase to come out means to emerge. It means to materialize. It means to appear. It means to surface. It means come to light. I like that last one, come to light. You know, because many of us come out. Many of us appear. Many of us emerge. Many of us materialize. But we don't come to the light. God is looking for his children to stand out and be separate and apart. And I'm beginning to believe that if you felt peculiar lately, maybe you have checked out and you need to see where you're standing. Maybe you have not made your election sure. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17, it says, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Jesus is cautioning his children. He is saying not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And when we go against those warnings of God's word, we can expect distress in our lives. It's almost like someone telling you, do not put your hand on the hot stove, and you do it anyway. Over and over again, we have warnings in the Bible. We can't defile ourselves by uniting with the world who defiles themselves with sin. This means we must come out from among them and be separate from them. Now, we know the story of Moses coming down from Mount Sinai, and the children of Israel were turning up. They was throwing what we call a live party. I guess I'm the only one that parties. That's okay. That's all right. That's cool. They're throwing this party, and they've decided to go back to their old ways by making a golden calf. Moses has been gone. He's up there taking care of God's business. He's somewhere praying. He's somewhere communicating with God, and they're down there partying again. They're down there going back to the old ways and the old traditions that they've learned. Look at Exodus chapter 32, and let's look at verse 19. They partying like what the song says, 1999. They turning up. Dabbing. Having a good time. And the word of God says this, "And Moses said to Aaron," in Exodus 32 and verse 19, "What did this people do to you that you brought such a great sin upon them?" And Aaron said, "Let not the anger of my Lord burn hot. You know the people, that they are set on evil. For they said to me, make us gods who shall go before us. And as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, who do not know what has, and we do not know what has become of him. So I said to them, let any who have gold take it off. So they gave it to me, and I threw it into the fire, and a calf came out." Why is it always somebody else's fault when we do something wrong? You ever thought about that? First, Moses says, "What did these people do to you?" Implying that they made Aaron do this. What did these people do to you? Did they tie you up? Did they hold you at a spear? Did they have knives and daggers? Were they ready to stone you? That has to be a real reason, a viable reason why you've allowed this to happen. Then Aaron says this, "Oh, you know how they are. You know." Implying as if they made him do this. Applying as if the pressure that they applied made him turn against God. Well, Moses got hot. Moses was 38. In Exodus 32, looking at verse 5, it says, Moses saw the people were running wild and that Aaron had let them get out of control. And so they became a laughingstock to their enemies. So he stood at the entrance to the camp and said, whoever is for the Lord, come to me. And all the Levites rallied to him. Then he said to them, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Each man strap a sword to his side. Go back and forth through the camp from one end to the other, each killing his brother and friend and neighbor. The Levites did as Moses commanded. And that day about 3,000 of the people died. Then Moses said, you have been set apart to the Lord today, for you were against your own sons and brothers, and he has blessed you this day. The question is this, who in here this morning is on the Lord's side? For if you are on the side of the Lord, you will come out from among them. There's an old saying, when in Rome, do as Romans do. The children of Israel, when in Egypt, took it upon themselves to follow the customs of their neighbors, and their neighbors became their taskmaster. You see how that works? You go out to look like the world, talking like the world, acting like the world, conducting business as the world, and in turn, you become slaves to the world. Many today are taking on these customs of this sin-filled world. Many have adopted all the theories and all the prognoses and theses and whatever else you can come up with that you've made up in your mind. And people are leaving the Lord's church to go to places where they can fulfill their carnality of the flesh. They're leaving the church to get their ears tickled. They go to the churches where they can have fun and frolic and do yoga classes and whatever else they offer that the world offers. But they're not talking about the gospel, book, chapter, and verse. How do we become better and stronger Christians? How do we eliminate sin in a world filled with darkness? They're not talking about all of those things. John says in John chapter 8 and verse 34, truly, truly, I say to you that everyone who commits sin is a slave to it. I don't understand why we dismiss this. The moment you begin to practice sin, you become a slave to it. Let me help you out. What you practice the most, you become. I'll say it over here. What you practice the most, spend most of your time focusing on, you become. So the day you say to yourself that I'm going to spend time in God's word, I'm going to read it, I'm going to put it on the tablets of my heart, and not only am I going to read it, I'm going to exemplify the characteristics of Christ every single day of my life, that is what you become. The moment you start practicing sin, the moment you start being engulfed in sin, that's what you become, a slave to sin, which in turn makes you a sinner. In Matthew 13, verses 36 to 43, I'm going to read this very briefly. Matthew 13, 36 to 43. Then he left the crowds and he went into the house, and his disciples came in saying, explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field. And he answered, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the son of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the close of age, is at the close of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the close of the age. The Lord said for us to come out from among them. Be separate and touch not that which is unclean. Don't we think it's past time for those of us that say we love the Lord to follow him and come to the light? I think it's time. This includes saints who have obeyed the gospel. This is not just talking about people who are outside in the world, who are not in Christ. It is talking about all of us. All of us need to be doing this. And the people who just have no interest of the things of God. It's twofold. And it amazes me the amount of time that we spend trying to become something other than true followers of Christ. Let me put it in these terms. It amazes me that we can spend 4 to 5 years or even more studying for a secular education that only gets you the means to survive in this world. Have you ever thought about that? You spend 4 to 5 to 6 years trying to do everything you can to be successful in this life. When was the last time you took time out to study and find out how I can become a successful believer? Did you graduate? Oh, yeah, I got it. You making good money? Oh, yeah, man, I got a nice house and everything going cool, baby. I'm good. Won't spend 1 hour to find out who the Lord God is. Won't spend 45 minutes to find out where his kingdom is, the church. Won't spend 10 minutes to understand the rules that govern his kingdom. Won't spend 1 minute to hear, what must I do to be saved? But you can sit down and get to a lecture and listen to this person and that person and follow everything that they say, but won't trust in the infallible word of God. I tell you what, this is my rule of thumb. I take no advice from no one whose faith has not been tested. It is a wise thing to take advice from people whose faith has been tested. If their faith has not been tested, I wouldn't take advice from them. If you've been with us since this morning, we've talked about a world filled with sin. And they're filled with darkness. And we've talked about how to survive it, abiding in the light of God. We talked about those deceptive devices that Satan uses to extinguish our light. In Exodus chapter 31, looking at verse 18, it says, Moses is upon Mount Sinai, and he's just received the two tablets of testimony. And those were the Ten Commandments, tablets of stone written with the finger of God. And then it goes on in verse 7 and 31. It says that his condemnation of their sinful acts. He said that I need to come down from this mountain and I need to fix it. As a matter of fact, he goes as far as thinking about getting my name blotted out for the sake of them. Blot my name out because I don't want them to feel the wrath of you. Today he's calling us to come out from among them. Those who will come to him soon. He will call them his own. He will say, come out from among them. I want you to know that the God of Old Testament is the same God in the New. He is. He hadn't changed. I get it. I'm just not that guy. I'm just not the guy that's just going to say, you know, I love all the trees and the flowers and the plants. And God is love and that's all you need. God is more than that. He's not only the God of love, but he's also the God of wrath. He is a jealous God. Brothers, men, you ever dealt with a jealous woman? Okay. Enough said. I ain't got to say no more. But we're talking about God. So you imagine the wrath that you felt dealing with a jealous woman? Think about the wrath of God. Today he's calling us to come out from among them. God says that his people are to come out from among them. And this is not a suggestion. He's not suggesting that you do. He's not saying, well, I think you should. No, it's a command. It's not a quiz. It's not some specialized test. It is a command to come out from among them. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. In verse 16 and 17, he says, "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Who are them, and what are we needing to be separate from? Take it like this. There are two classes of people. There are believers and unbelievers. That's it. People say, well, it's not black and white. Yes, it is. There are believers and unbelievers. Simple as that. And the distinction is to be carried forward in the church also. In other words, Paul states in Romans chapter 9 and verse 6, "Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel." So basically put, not all Christians who profess Christ are living the way that they're supposed to. Just because you got, what would Jesus do bumper sticker don't mean that you're living a life pleasing to God. Just you put a little silver goldfish on the back of your car don't mean that you are a servant of God. You know, that makes me think about how it allows people to blaspheme against God. Because we soon forget that we are walking advertisements for Christ. Do you not understand that? That we are walking advertisements for Christ. The moment you say that I'm a believer, I worship at the East Shelby Church of Christ, you are a walking advertisement for Christ. And everything you do and everything that you say and how you live your life can either represent Christ in the positive light or in the negative. What does your billboard look like? Don't be looking at me like that. I said it. What's your billboard look like? What does it look like? What does your advertisement say? Are you saying, come and see? Are you saying, look at my example? Look at how I'm raising my children? Look how I'm honoring my wife? Look how I put God first in everything that I do? Look how I'm doing the things that I'm supposed to, evangelizing, praying, singing songs and praise. I never let his praise leave from my mouth. Everybody knows without a shadow of a doubt that I am a follower of Christ. I need more MOGs in this house. Men of God. That's what we need. A whole bunch of marks. I think I'm going to make me some t-shirts that says, I'm a mark, a man of God. In other words, plain message of Scripture, both Old Testament and New Testament, is the same. The contrast is that the vast degree to which the world tries to corrupt our pure souls. And we got to be on guard when it comes to that. The Israelites are an example of how this works. I mean, they've done it over and over and over and over again. And we're doing the same thing over and over and over again. The teachings of James chapter 1 and verse 27 requires that we shun any and every form of attitude, action, or association that would move us away from God. I think that we truly don't believe that the devil is truly the number one hater. God's grace should influence your life like none other. We should be determined, like we are for everything else, to live a life pleasing to God. You know, I pray sometimes that God can brag on me and that he could say to the devil, test my servant Chris. Test my servant Chris. Because I really, truly know his heart. You can't kill him, can't harm him, but test my servant. When's the last time you were at a place in your spiritual walk when you was like, devil, you can test me? because I know the God that I serve. I am a slave to righteousness, not sin. When was the last time that you could confidently say that? If Christ was to have come back yesterday, where would you be? Okay, I'm set over here. I didn't say if Christ comes back in an hour. I didn't say if Christ will come back in a week. I said, what if Christ came back yesterday, and where would you be? Because, see, today we got on our best. What was you doing Saturday? What was your attitude like on Friday? What was your prayer life on Monday when hump day came and you was tired and your boss getting on your nerves, your kids about to drive you crazy? Where was your attitude then? What was your allegiance to God then? So the question is this: if Christ came back yesterday, would you be in heaven or hell? That's a serious question. In James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, it says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. He says, I want you to come out from among them. This among them is the idolaters, the unbelievers. I want you to come out from all this frivolousness and this viciousness of this world. He says, I want you to be ye separate. What does that mean? Separate from the world and all its corrupt influences. He says, saith the Lord, means obey what I just said. And then he says, touch not the unclean thing. Stay pure, have no contact with idolatry or any form of it. And as Christians, we ought to avoid any unholy contact that is vain and polluted towards God. And then he says that I will receive you. When? When you come out from among them. It says, don't love it. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Don't conform to it, Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2. And it says, keep unspotted in James chapter 1 and verse 27. Being unspotted from the world is defined within the book of James. It says, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. You gotta lay it to the side. You must purify your heart. Cleanse your hands. This is all about personal repentance and determination. We plan for everything else but heaven. We plan for vacation. We plan for weddings. We plan for babies. We plan to party. We plan for everything else. I plan for where I'm going to get my education and what my degree is. We plan for all of that, and yet we don't have a plan to get to heaven. Ask me how I know. Because if we did, there were nowhere to sit in this place. This place will be filled from the beginning all the way to the back. If we did that, the influence of the world wreaks havoc on Christian lives. It wreaks havoc in our homes. It wreaks havoc in our relationships. And more importantly, it disrupts the connection we ought to have with our Heavenly Father. I'm going to tell you something. Don't fool yourself. TV introduces all sorts of filthiness and uncleanliness, just to keep it real. I know it's hard at times, but the best excuse that we can give is, oh, that's just entertainment. That's all it is. But when your children repeat it, when your family members begin to do it, when it affects you directly, you start to question what is going into my ears and in my eyes. Resonates in my heart and it comes out of my mouth and in my actions. How is that possible? Well, let me say this. If you read the word of God constantly, it came through your eyes, you heard it through your ears, it'll resonate in your heart and it'll come out of your mouth. There are a few top-rated shows currently on TV now that maybe you need to stand clear of. Scandal, you need to stay away from that. Women having an affair with the president, among other men, murder, homosexuality, adultery, you got to stay away from that. Mistress, that just speaks for itself. I don't even have to go any further with that. Yeah. The Bachelorette, it's a whole type of mess. Love and hip hop, so sad. Atlanta Housewives, ridiculous. Oh, don't let me get on Empire. And all the other shows that come on. All they do is press upon us the things of the world and try to make us buy into it's okay. That's just what we do. As if God has not made it clear of what the abominations are, what are the transgressions against his law, and what his expectations are from us. We dismiss them all. And you know what we do? We start relegating God to the back seat of our lives because we in control. I got this, God. I'm good. Stay on back there. I'm only going to need you when it's dire. I'm going to need you because see, it's two ways God gets your attention. It's through your finances and through your health. Oh, I know that for a fact. Because as soon as your finances get touched, oh, Lord, I need you. Oh, Lord. Call them quick. The moment you start getting news and you start feeling sick and getting calls, you start looking on the internet. What's going on with me? Lord, I need you. Then you start self-diagnosing, and now you got some type of disease that nobody heard of, and now you want to call on God. Let me ask you this question. Can a man carry fire in his bosom and not get burned? You want to try it? Simply put, if you're living your life contrary to what God has told us to do, you are like a man who is carrying fire in his bosom, and I can assure you, you'll get burned. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19 says, but God's firm foundation stands, bearing this seal. The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. If you're naming his name, you can't be practicing sin. That makes you a hypocrite. Makes you a liar. And the truth ain't in you. Colossians 1:13, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved son. John 15:19, if there were of the world, then the world would love you as its own. See, that's why a lot of you may be struggling at school. Those of us who are practicing and walking that narrow path and trying to go through that narrow gate. Are they going to talk about you because you don't look like them? You don't talk like them. You don't act like them. And so they'll shun you. But the moment you look like them, act like them, they will welcome you. I never thought there would come a time where we are looking at presidential candidates and all they talking about is the LGBT community and how they're going to have transgenders and everything else in the White House. I ain't heard one person say, man, you know what? If I'm going to get me a panel of people that's going to be by me, they all going to be believers. You heard that? And you see nobody come out there with no scriptures on their suit and no crosses on their suit, but they got the little rainbow on their suit. They telling you how they're going to talk about the LGBT community, but nobody is talking about turning away from man and looking at what God has to say on the matter. John 15:19, if you were of the world would love you as his own, but because you are not of this world, but I choose you out of the world, therefore, the world hates you. I'll put it like this. If the world ain't hating you, you're doing something wrong. I mean, if this walk for you is easy, then you're doing something wrong. God wants and expects his children to be separate and apart from the world. And when you come out from among them, you will be able to find light in a world filled with darkness. You know the craziest thing I ever witnessed? A man says that he, or woman says that he or she believes in God, but they put all their trust and faith in man. Oh, I believe in God. But Joel Osteen said, what? I believe in God, but Tyler Perry said, what? I believe in God and Dr. This and such says this. And I'm not saying that getting any type of additional help is not necessary. But the best help, the best doctor, the best advice you can get is out of the B-I-B-L-E. We got to make a conscious decision. Some of you all are just walking around dead. You remember Sixth Sense? Remember what he said? Real, real nice and soft. I see dead people. I concur. When I look out into the world, I see a lot of dead people. Because they're dead to God. They are spiritual zombies walking around not knowing that they have a Father that loves them. And for all of us that are in the church that's doing this, you know what I call you? Orphans. Because that's what you act like. You act like you don't have a Father who loves you. Make a conscious decision to come out from among them. And let God receive you. Let him receive you. There was this father who was in the boat with his son and his friend. His son was an upstanding young man. He was in the church. He served in the church, good in his community, obeyed the gospel, living faithful, you know, stayed out of trouble. He was doing exactly what he needed to do. But this young man's friend was in there, and he had no clue. He hadn't obeyed the gospel. He wasn't doing the things he was supposed to do, in all kinds of trouble. And then the weather changed, and some type of rip current came, and the boat turned over. And the father, with only the little time he had to make a choice. He looked at his son and he said, my son is going to be all right. He's obeyed the gospel. He's doing what's right. So he let his son go down the river and die. But the young man who did not know God, he saved him. When I think about that, I think about God who sent his son to die for you and for me, and we didn't deserve it. He sacrificed his son so that you could have life because you were dead in your sins. When I saw that, I thought about it and I said, how? If Roman was doing that and floating down the way, I'm like, well, I'm sorry, this is my son. That's the natural thing. But God didn't do that to you. He sent his son to die for you and for me, giving us the hope. And knowing we were still going to be knuckleheads, he did it saying, I have the hope and faith that they still would obey and receive this free gift that I've given to them. So my question is, will you receive the free gift? Do you truly appreciate the sacrifice that was made for you when you were drowning in the sea of sin? I hope your answer is yes. I hope this day you will make your election sure. This is the part where I plead with you and I tell you, you got to do something. You got to make some changes. This is the part where you know that I'm making the invitation and saying it's time to make those changes, right? This is that time. But you knew before you came in here what changes you needed to make. I didn't have to tell you anything. It is up to you. Do you have the faith and the trust to know that God saves? I hope you don't continue to depend on you. I hope you put your trust in God, giving more, giving less of yourself, and getting more of him. I hope I've said something to encourage you. I want you to leave with the understanding that God truly loves you. So if you're here and you haven't obeyed the gospel, this is your opportunity. There is no better time like the present. Now is the time. There's no better time. And if you are a Christian and you need the prayers of the church, I know that the shepherds and the men here and the deacons are more than willing to pray with you. Even if you decide to walk down, I'll walk with you if that's what you need. Anything to get you to the finish line. So if you're here and that is your desire, Please come now as together we stand and sing.